Place to Be Nation. Welcome back and join us once again on the Highway to the Impact Zone. I am your host, Logan Croslin, and I would like to thank you for joining us on this, our one-year anniversary. How we ever made it a year, I'll never know. Tonight, we're going to be doing things a little different, but before I get to that, let me bring in my co-host, student for this awesome year of hilarity and nonsense, Jake Williams. How you doing, Jake?
I'm good, Logan. I wonder if we'll come through like TNA does for all of their big milestone shows, as we know that they always are on the mark, like we saw with pay-per-view number 100, which seems like a decade ago since we watched that show.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It seems like forever ago, no doubt about it. But yeah, I'm glad we've made it a year, and I'm glad you've made this sometimes horrible journey, but great journey at the same time with me. Tonight we will only have one expert. Lewis was unable to join us tonight. He had some personal commitments he had. But our other expert is joining us. He is the captain of the Chicken Salad Express and the guy who I recently discovered doesn't love the Styles Clash. Ben Locke, how you doing, Ben?
Yeah, so sorry about that. it caused quite a debate. It was just an offhand comment from me, and they were like, what are you talking about, man? Yes, I'm good, Logan. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I have a little bit of a stuffed nose, but I'll power through it.
Man up. Can I just say this is my first podcast, first jab done, so I can walk out quite nicely. I mean, I've not thrown up and been sick yet, so this is quite good.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a highlight for sure.
it just feels like somebody's like permanently pressing on your arm and you've got a bruise there, that's all.
Yeah, I got you. But Ben, I'll stick with you. You weren't on our final resolution show with us, but what did you think of the pay-per-view that we discussed last time?
I thought if you stop the show before the main event, that's an easy 9 out of 10. You know, you got that unbelievable Ultimate X match. I know, like, Matt and Tim in particular were talking themselves out of 5 stars. I'd have gone there. 4 and 3/4, 5 stars would have been very fair for that match. The tag title match, I just imagine, like, a young Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa looking at all the false finishes and the year falls and going, right, there's some in this overindulgent finishing lot, but that match was tremendous. Also, you know, the skipper Sonjay match, and even the opening match, you know, 3LK's best match for a while. And then you have, so like I say, that would have been like an easy 8, 9 out of 10 show if you'd have finished it after Ultimate X, but you'd got that main event. And it wasn't just a bad smell of the main event, it was a stench. You guys were far too generous with your star ratings, all giving it 2 out of 10. 2 out of 5, sorry. It would have been lucky to have broken a star with me.
Wow.
You know, I don't want to use that Mike Graham, you know, a million guitars and you couldn't draw a dime comparison, but this match is as close as you get to that. I think it was Matt or Jake who said it. Like, if you're gonna have Jarrett win the match, Jarrett be the champ at the end of the match, don't even have Monty in the match.
Mm-hmm.
This is our year anniversary, isn't it, Logan?
Yes, sir.
And I'd say between the six of us, Monty has been the one that's impressed us the most, or been our favorite, or certainly in our top three. I think that's a fair assessment, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely been one of my favorites. You know, for sure.
I get like the Goldberg 98 vibe with him. You know, you've beat him now twice in a month, and you know, I'm not spoiling things too much for a further online, but you know, this is as good as it gets for him. And you know, I said it a few times on the pod, but you know, they should have made him world champ yesterday. And for whatever reason, they just never pulled that trigger. And you know, they'll regret that decision. But it, you know, the main event's absolutely awful. You know, don't need to see another. We talk about Wankfest a lot. This was a Jarrett Wankfest, basically. And yeah, that main event, you know, I could say it goes down from a 9 out of 10 show to, you know, a lucky if he gets 7 out of 10 show. And it's all because of that main event.
Yeah. Yeah. And I definitely agree with you. But like we said on that show, like even the Paul Hardy match wasn't good technically or anything like that, but we had a lot of fun talking about it, and it was like hilariously bad, so it was at least fun to watch. But like Cash and Dustin shouldn't have been any good, but Cash kind of pulled kind of a lucky rabbit's foot out of him, and got a pretty good match out of Dustin Rhodes in that situation, even though we know Dustin's not really in the best place in his career at this point. But yeah, that main event definitely hurts, and you know, we'll probably go on and on about it for the next however long Monty's even in the company. But just how they didn't pull the trigger on him right now, I honestly think they should have given him the title before Turning Point, and then just had his and Abyss's match at the pay-per-view been for the title, and you know, maybe Jarrett went back here or something like that. But at least he got a little bit of a run, because like Jarrett's focus wasn't even on the world title at that, because he was in a tag match. So you know, like, you could at least give Monty one pay-per-view title match as champion, and you know, maybe give it back to Jarrett here. But you know, I would have loved to have seen him get a bigger run, but at least you could get him to that point. But we'll figure that out whenever we get around to talking a little bit more about Monty and his where he goes from here. Like I said earlier, before I kind of introduced everybody, we're going to do things a little different tonight. Since it's a kind of our first 1 year anniversary, we're going to do a live watch, and we're going to live watch the two episodes that we are going to discuss this week. So they're going to be the January 21st and the January 28th episodes of Impact. So if you would like to watch along with us, those are the two episodes we're going to be watching. So I am going to pull up that episode, or I'm going to pull up the January 21st episode now. Jake, are you ready?
I'm queued up.
All right, 3, 2, 1, play. All right, so we get our regular open with the giant satellites and the crazy pictures.
Yeah. Seizure-inducing flash.
Yeah, I haven't asked anybody about what they think about that little intro. What do y'all think of that little opening thing with all the lights and the satellites and stuff?
You know, I think it's okay considering the, you know, considering this is a show that's still playing at what, like 3 p.m. on Fox Sportsnet. I mean, I think the production quality is good enough.
Yeah. I think they've moved to 4 at this point, but yeah, they're still in the afternoon. What'd you think, man?
Yeah, I don't mind it. Like Jake says, you kind of think of like Impact, like the same way, like of, you know, Superstars and Challenge, haven't you? Almost like with a time slot and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. But we're getting some pictures of Final Resolution, kind of what we saw, all the great matches and the terrible main event where Jeff Jarrett emerged victorious. But yeah, we're just getting some pictures right now.
Throwback with the still images of the pay-per-view. I always like how Don always says that, where I think he says it right here in the open. He's going to say it pretty soon. Like, he's like, if you didn't catch it, or if you just want to watch it again, like nobody would have taped it. Or even at this point, 05, I think some people had DVR by this point, or at least like TiVo or whatever. Just funny. He's like, so you pay like $30 or whatever, you're just going to pay it again just to watch this again. It's quite dedication to Don.
Yeah, it's like, did he even say something like that in the day, like back in the day? Like, yeah, you need to catch the replay.
All right, so we're going into the Impact Zone. We see all the wild Impact Zoners with their crazy signs, wild attitudes.
So Jeff Hardy is the next champion sign. I think it's doubtful.
Yeah. I was saying, they actually showed like the roof of the Impact Zone at this, and it really just kind of looks like a warehouse if you look at the like ceiling of this building, which I know it actually really kind of is. So,
They do mention a lot, like it's stage 21. It's like, don't mention the fact it's just a sound stage. I mean, how amateur do you want to sound? Just, oh yeah, we're recording this on a sound stage.
Yeah. It was the best they could do, Ben. Leave him alone.
Very toned down, Don. He only has on like a basic black polo.
Yeah, it was, he only has the Impact polo on right now, so he doesn't have his usual matching metallic shirt and metallic tie.
It's kind of funny that, you know, go ahead, Ben.
No, I was going to say he's not wearing his bin bag shirt today. It's just a basic
bin bag. But I also like that Tanay, even on these regular episodes, he always has a tux. Like, even like in WWF back in the day, they would only really pull out the tuxes on the big shows, kind of. Like, JR would pull out his tuxes on the big shows. Like, Tanay, like a random episode of Impact, he has his bow tie on.
Yeah, he feels very overdressed.
We also had a Grooney with the Bret Hart shades on in the crowd when we were coming in as well. Forgot to mention that. All right, so we're going to a press conference that appears to be for a Jarrett and Kevin Nash match that is apparently going to maybe be happening at the pay-per-view, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, we've quickly transitioned into this.
Yeah, I was just saying, no effort was put into naming Nash the number one contender. He just kind of, you know, he was casually the first person eliminated in the three-way, so he definitely deserves a title shot out of that, I'm sure.
To be fair to TNA, though, as well, like, I mean, we'll get into it. A lot does happen on this show in terms of, like, making matches for the pay-per-view. But I don't know if it's just because they've only got 4 weeks to the next pay-per-view, but, you know, so we've got, like, here, the world title match straight away. But I think I'm right in saying it's about 3 or 4 other matches announced just tonight.
Yeah.
And we should give this press conference, like, a bit of space, because Sean Kidd does describe it as the greatest thing he's ever seen.
It's not the greatest thing I've ever seen. Is Jeff Jarrett's attire. Nash is looking pretty slick. He's kind of got like his blazer and everything, but Double J has this like horrible, like ill-fitting, like lime green button-down shirt and this terrible pink and black striped tie. Like, it looks like straight out of like a one. Yeah. he looks like your 10th grade like history teacher like outfit. Terrible.
Yeah, I'm getting major high school principal vibes from Jared right now.
Yeah, that lovely. It's a lovely snot green shirt with an amazing pink and black striped tie. Yeah, he's looking like he's looking like, you know, a history teacher who's trying too hard. Bless him.
But basically, Jarrett's just kind of saying that he's been around the world defending his title in all these different countries and all that kind of stuff. And then Nash is like, oh, I'm all about the money, man. If I'm the champion, I get all the money, you know. So, but yeah, this is a pretty entertaining press conference.
He also says something like the odds are against, like they both go back and forth. Like Double J says he has an advantage because he's the champion or whatever. He's been fighting all over the world. He's experienced, blah, blah, blah. And then Nash says the odds are with him because he's bigger and stronger than Jarrett, which I thought was pretty funny.
It's the also, thing about way to build up your baby face. Yeah, what's his primary factor? More money.
Yeah, that's something they built throughout this. And it starts here, like you said, Ben, like, it's almost like Jarrett's, like, the way he's talking, it's, like, very heelish, but the stuff he's saying is, like, face, because it's very much like, oh, I'm the fighting champion, like, this title means something to me, it's about the pride and the honor of the title, and then Nash is like, I don't care about any of that, it's for the money, but, like you said, Nash is the face, so it is kind of a weird deal.
Also love how Nash has Hall, and Jarrett has some Jamoke that I've never seen before.
Yeah, some great value Vince Russo character.
No, he hasn't just got Hall, but I don't know if he pull out further wide, but it's Terry Taylor next to Scott Hall.
Oh, is it really? I didn't see that. I got you.
So to your point, Logan, his little buddy guy next to him. So everybody has their name, like Jeff Jarrett, Kevin Nash. That guy just says TNA official with no name.
All right, so we threw to questions, and then the USA Today wanted to do a face-off, and now Don West has asked how he's going to overcome the size disadvantage. And apparently Don West works for ESPN Radio, which none of us
serious, do. Serious investment. Like, Don West.
I died that Don was in the press like covering this. Like, what the hell? Seems like a conflict here.
Yeah, definitely.
Don's question is like, Jeff Double J, could you speak on why TNA is the greatest thing that's ever existed in history?
You've got to think this is
the greatest company ever.
You've got to think they just had everybody from backstage just appearing in the semi. Can you just fill a chair for us for a second? I mean, there's no guy with a buzz cut, for example, on the front row is a journalist, for example.
Oh man, this DDP line, he sounds like such a douche. Like, what he does to the. So, so you say you're the kings of wrestling, so does that make him your queen?
Yeah, so basically DDP asked Jeff Jarrett, he says, you're the self-possessed king of the mountain, so he asked Nash if that makes him his queen. And then Jarrett says something like, if the shoe fits, wear it, and then I think Nash says something about sticking it up his ass, so things can kind of get physical from here. So
if you are a hearing impaired trying to watch Impact Plus, you are not out of luck, because they do not have closed captioning, to my knowledge, at least not on the app that I'm watching on. So
I'm starting to learn that. Yeah, I tried to do that, and I was like, oh shit, they don't actually have closed captioning. But luckily, I don't think West and Tanae usually say much of worth. So.
But I did enjoy the presentation of that overall. As we're going to see with some of the matches they set up for the pay-per-view, it's a lot more effort, I think, than they put into a lot of the feuds that they set up, which a lot of them were just kind of thrown together. So I kind of liked that they did that whole press conference thing, as, you know, kind of corny in some ways as it was. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a cool way to set up the title match, even though it does seem kind of random that they just sort of got to Nash and Jarrett, like, out of thin air. Because of all the people in the little thing that they did at the pay-per-view, the little gauntlet to get to the title, Nash was like the first one eliminated. So it's a little weird that he gets the title shot next.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's at least something different, isn't it? You know, it's campy, but at least it was something different.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I like the presentation of it all.
My boy Chris Daniels just appeared.
All right, so our first match is Buck Quartermain versus Christopher Daniels. So,
Quartermain
looking like great, great value Lance Storm. So,
why does that name mean something to me? What was he in before this?
I think he was he's kind of a squash worker. I think he's been in a few different companies. I recognize the name too. So, I think he's been around pretty much everywhere. But Buck got a few early shots.
Fell right on his ass.
I love that STO that Christopher Daniels does. I always think it's cool to hit it out of nowhere, and he kind of really snaps it.
Marky Mark in the crowd is looking ridiculous, but at least he's got a different shirt on than the usual black attire.
All right, and Daniels finishes him off with the last right, so that was a quick one.
Under a minute,
yeah,
for that one.
Yeah, if it lasted a minute. So probably I agree.
I agree that the gentleman's won.
Gotcha.
Yep. Same here. Yep. Yeah. Standard one, and he grabs the mic.
But as we're about to find out, that wasn't the point of him being out there.
Yep.
I believe he says he's tired of the favoritism, and he's calling out AJ Styles here. Because he wants the X Division title. I may have said this before, but Daniels reminds me of the... I don't know if y'all are familiar with the 90s band Live. famous for the song Lightning Crashes, but he kind of looks like the singer of Live, just without the little like rat tail thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, but all Daniels is saying here is pretty much he deserves an X Division title shot, and he's kind of calling out AJ Styles for ducking him, so... that's pretty much what he's going around about right now. So,
but to you guys' point, you said as we're going into it already, I mean, we have our world title feud, and it would seem that we're setting up our X Division feud right from the get go, which is not something we always see on these. Sometimes I kind of like fiddle fuck around a little bit after the pay per views, but on this one, they kind of seem like they're ready to. Maybe like Ben said, the 4 weeks they're trying to get right into it and set up these feuds quickly.
And if
Lewis was here, he'd be absolutely delighted because AJ's going to speak.
Yeah. He's going to talk about how he's a survivor.
A survivor.
I'm a survivor, and I'm an X Division champion.
He's got his full, like, American Eagle outfit that, like, every dude I went to high school wore. Like, he just went to American Eagle and just bought the mannequin. Like, whatever they had, like, set up on the mannequin, he just bought it. With the tucked-in shirt.
My green and my American Eagle shirt, my jeans, yeah. And I've got my title that I can't keep on my fucking shoulder.
Yeah, it keeps slipping.
He struggles so hard with the belt, it's so funny. He can't keep it on his shoulder.
I put it on a rung too small.
I feel like the side plate's about to fall off too, so it kind of looks janky, as Jake would say. All right, and Dusty's out with his two, one very smelly lady apparently, enough to give her LVP, and then Tracy. So,
I've got to say about Dusty, right? Because he will make another appearance later on tonight. I know he has to appear all the time because it's Dusty, but. There is literally no need for him to be here. There is no need for him to be around later on. Just they were quite clearly building to a match.
Yeah, and all he does here is just come out. Like, Daniel's, like, AJ comes out and he's like, anytime, any place we could go, like, I'll fight you, whatever. And Daniel says, oh, yeah, why don't we do it right now? And Dusty says, whoa, 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 we can't do it right now. We'll do it later.
Yeah, so basically Dusty said if Daniels can last 10 minutes with Styles, he could get a title shot at the pay-per-view.
Here comes one of our squash favorites, Lex Lovett.
Great value, low key.
He of the two Jeff Jarrett appearance.
Yeah, this was he was one of the repeat customers. So on our we'll repeat be facing, episode, we have
Jeff Hardy.
Oh yeah, Mr. Modest to the top.
Not going to spoil what happened just yet.
Jeff's got, like, full-on braids right now.
Oh, yeah. He's in his 06 WWE mode.
Yeah, that requires me to actually...
When he first came back, he had pure dreads, yeah. What were you saying, man?
I said 06 requires him to actually wrestle a good match. He's not quite there yet.
I love the sign that wears amazing red. That's a good question.
Seriously. The guy's got a
point. Yeah. I love now, the Hardy impersonator that's in the crowd every week.
The dedication of that guy.
Yeah, good for him.
Not to give any spoilers, but very soon I think we're going to see possibly the best bump that Jeff Hardy has taken since arriving in TNA.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Lex Lovett just wiped the glow stick jizz on Jeff Hardy's arm, so he got a little bit on his fingers.
A lot of bald jobbers on this episode. Buck Quartermain and Lex Lovett both completely bald. Lex has a Band-Aid on the side of his head.
Yeah, I was saying Lex apparently had some struggles with a razor earlier and has a Band-Aid on his head.
Great value, low key.
Oh my god. I can't wait till low key comes back. I think it's not too much further from now. He comes back pretty soon, I think. He's not low-key, though.
Jeff going through his typical arsenal here.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing you've not seen before.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jeff Hardy's such a bad squash worker that, like, he actually has to have the person take offense on him to actually make a crumb match. He can't just completely squash him like everybody else.
They've had a couple weird exchanges in this so far. Like, they're trying to, like, reverse things. Yeah, and they're, like, flipping all over each other, like, not sure who's supposed to have the grip. And they, but another one. This one goes about 90 seconds, but not much longer than our first match.
Yeah, I was saying about a minute and a half. But Abyss is out.
But yet again, it's another match where it's not about the match.
Yes.
And Abyss is absolutely mauling Hardy so far, just raining down big punches. And the Black Hole Slam absolutely crushes him.
Abyss carried on his one-man mission to become Ben Lock's favorite wrestler.
Yeah, I was going to say, I should introduce Ben as the leader of the Abyss fan club at this point. So
shit, he just tossed Lex, too, for no reason.
He threw him away like yesterday's garbage.
threw him in the bin bag.
That's where Bob's shirt was.
He threw him in Don West's old bin bag.
Now, this is from Abyss attacked him at the pay-per-view, too, right? If I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
So this is a continuation.
And I
said he was going to start kicking some ass.
I think there was a thing where Abyss was meant to be jumping to WWF because they made a point on the commentary of saying like we couldn't even believe Abyss was even here. So whether they got signed, I something in the back of my head is sort of thinking, did he nearly sign a contract or not?
I don't know. I could imagine that they were looking at him at this point because he's a huge guy, and you know how Vince likes huge guys.
Here we go.
Abyss has set up a table on the outside, and he absolutely hurls Jeff Hardy to the outside through the table. I mean, he chucks him pretty like hard.
Press slam style. Yeah, he's pretty sick.
Yeah, gorilla presses him and just chucks him pretty much. But when, Ben, what were you saying?
One star match, a billion star beatdown. That was everything. That is life.
That's a great bump. That's like a vintage Jeff Hardy bump, like that we have not seen him really pull off in TNA yet.
Good for him. All right, so we get great value Doc Hendricks and Shane Douglas with AMW, the new tag team champions, asking him how they feel about in the hundred. Douglas isn't quite as twitchy on this one. And as Jake points out, pretty much every time they have a promo, they make the mistake of letting Harris do most of the talking.
I know, he's just not a... I think here he does this thing where he says, and if they want to come theft, it's going to be a bad idea. Like, there's a lot of, like, anytime guys, like, don't know what to do, they think if they do some shit where they, like, break up words like that in the syllables, it's, like, a good move, and it's not.
All right, so Kid Cash and apparently renamed Lance
Lance Hoyt.
I get to count of Lance Hoyt, the big guy from Dallas, or variant thereof.
Yeah, so also, our character of Dallas that has been with Kid Cash this whole time has been renamed Lance Hoyt. So,
and he's just in sweatpants, which is strange.
Oh yeah, he has the Jenny Smith special on right now. He has like gray sweatpants and like a toboggan or whatever you want to call it.
Toboggan.
That's what I call it. I'm sorry. Whatever kind of winter hat, I guess. Beanie.
I think I want to say, is it called a toque in Canada? I want to say some people call it.
That's right. That sounds right.
Yeah.
What do y'all call that kind of hat, Ben?
That would be a beanie hat.
Okay, beanie. Gotcha. All right, well, he was wearing a beanie.
Your kid's favorite tag team.
Sean Kidd's favorite tag team, the Naturals,
the Natties.
I mean, I hate to give him credit, but he might have been right about the Naturals.
Yeah, and of course, a heel team of the Naturals is facing a babyface team, right? Wrong. They're facing Catherine King, and equally as much heel tag team.
Now, I didn't mention, but in what's becoming a trend, again, with AMW and then, I can't call them Dallas and Cash anymore. Lance Hoyt, Hoyt and Cash.
Hoyt and Cash seem
to be setting up a feud with them, and we might see that escalate in a couple seconds.
Hoyt and Cash fighting crime.
they sound like a lawyer, a lawyer duo, Cash and Hoyt.
We should have called him Lance Toboggan. Lance Toboggan.
Have we crunched the numbers yet? Let's get Hoyt and Cash on the case.
Yeah, or a buddy cop duo. Yeah, that makes sense. Basically the four or the three teams in contention for the tag titles are these two in this match, and then Cash and Hoyt have thrown their kind of names kind of in the ringer, pretty much saying that they're going to be the team that faces them at Against All Odds. So, but this match is kind of to determine who might be at one of the top contenders.
And not to bring the mood down too much, but let's enjoy Kaz while we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he's about to leave, I don't blame him, because he's been kind of saddled with this, and they've been kind of jobbed out. And I mean, I think he's more talented than being stuck in this. And they don't even have, like, Tracy anymore to give him. They don't even have that going for him anymore.
It's tragedy, because I think they're actually a pretty good team if they're in
there.
That's
what I mean. Somebody. Like, they're, yeah. I mean, they're almost being positioned on the same level as the Naturals now, which they're much better than them.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Four-star Shane. Cats, famously.
Yeah, they Shane was saddled with the wrong person to be related to. And they actually hit the Bulldog to the knee on this one, unlike the last time they tried that and completely missed.
I know I say this every time, but their offense just all, like, look at that knee thing he just did. Like, that looked like shit. Like, that looked like he did nothing. He just, like, rubbed his knee on his cheek. God, yeah. Their offense is just so shitty. Like, everything they do just looks so soft and crappy. And they rely so much on, like, stupid, crappy, like, chokes and lame shit. Like,
do you think it's mostly Douglas? Because I feel like a lot of the stuff you say as pertains to that, it's about Douglas. Do you think that?
Well, you see, Logan, I would have to be able to tell them apart to be able to tell you.
That is a good so, point.
I could not so answer Douglas that question.
Is the one in the ring. All right, so Cash and Dallas have come out and started to beat the shit out of the Naturals.
Hoyt, sir.
Hoyt. That's gonna be hard, man. I'm gonna have to get used to that one. So, but yeah,
he's still in the sweatpants and the beanie hat though.
Yeah, and I never really know. I'd always knew he had the tramp stamp, but for whatever reason, the sweatpants are riding down, and his tramp stamp kind of looks like the Whataburger logo.
It sure does. I'm Lance assuming White. They're supposed to be wings. I don't really know.
Supposed to be angels' wings, isn't it?
I guess so. All right, and AMW is out to save absolutely no one and just to start a brawl? Because every team in the ring except them are heels?
AMW just, that was so stupid. It was just like, yeah, you guys just fight. We don't need to be involved in this.
It's been a while since we got one of these. Remember, like, it was a while where we're getting this, like, every episode, just these, like, crazy brawls where people just run out. They've kind of toned it back a bit with that, but here we are.
Yeah, I think they probably figured out that they were kind of turning into Great Value Nitro, because every episode, it seemed like, at the start, was kind of ending with a brawl, even if it was just a singles feud or whatever. It was just a bunch of singles feuds kind of combining to each other, so... but they kind of kick Cash and Dallas to the back. But go ahead, Ben.
If you didn't know which team they were facing at the pay-per-view, like, they deliberately make sure they split them two teams apart from the other two teams.
They kind of beat Cash and Dallas to the back, and then the Naturals and Kaz and Shane are still kind of fighting each other.
He's had a big night tonight between, like, Nash... That bump there when he just pushes him out the ring.
All right, so what would y'all give that match star rating wise for what it was?
I mean, maybe a half. I feel like that's what I was about to ask. If we were, it was barely even a match because the run-ins came so quick. Like, I would like half a star, I guess.
Yeah, at least the squash has had a point.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'd probably just give it one just because it was, you know, nothing was too awful. But it was just kind of basic, and it got cut off pretty quickly with the DQ. So, and they actually did a DQ for once, so that's nice to see that TNA is actually kind of growing.
all it took is for four people to run out and interrupt the match.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes that doesn't even do it. But our next match is going to be Cassidy Riley. Apparently he's not O'Reilly anymore, but it's going to be Cassidy Riley versus Raven, and Raven comes out with Pain painted on his chest, so I guess the pain of losing his best friend Eric Watts was just too much for him to handle.
be fair, Cassidy, the intensity from Raven here, we haven't seen this for a long time.
Cassidy Rye's got a tramp stamp too. All these dudes have tramp stamps.
It's a very 04-05 thing.
Yeah. Was that a dude thing ever though?
Well, I don't know any dude who's got one.
Alright, Cassidy,
TNA locker room, like, where's your stamp man?
You gotta get one. Cassidy Riley is wearing every cruiserweight in WWE's outfit right now.
I don't know who's told him, like, the yellow trunks with the blue shoes was quite a good combo for him.
He definitely looks like proto Paul London right now in WWE.
No, they didn't pull it off well, but I do like that move Raven did where you jump off the top rope and put the knee into the back of the guy's neck. I mean, he didn't really hit it well. It's kind of I think Ivan Koloff used to do that move, actually.
It's your favorite ankle lock, boys.
Terrible ankle lock.
That was a pretty good transition from the ankle lock to the even flow, though. I like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, submission specialist Raven.
He just has no torque on the ankle lock. He just kind of lifts the guy's leg up. Uh-huh. But, another about 90-second squash there, fellas.
Yep. Another one.
Yes. It's true. It's pretty much until the end, all squashes.
A little nice. Joint manipulation.
You get that Pete Dunne joint manipulation going on.
Yeah, I was going to say Raven's channeling like a 10 or 12-year-old Pete Dunne at this point. I wonder if he was already manipulating joints in elementary school.
Oh, there's an image.
Yeah. He was probably manipulating at least one joint.
Yes.
Dustin Rhodes in his like midnight cowboy attire saves Cassidy Riley for some reason. His good pal.
I feel like he just got done attending cowboy church.
Cowboy funeral.
Of all the rookies he could take under his wing, you pick Cassidy Riley.
Yep. And yes, Ben, in Nashville, Tennessee, cowboy church is actually a real thing.
Wow.
Yep. Everybody wears a cowboy hat and big belt buckles and all that kind of stuff. It's a real thing.
Is the hip book just full of country songs? Is that what you're telling me?
They kind of have a country twang to them, but it's kind of just gospel hymns and stuff like that. But
I'm not saying this was recorded on a different day, but Shane has a magically changed shirt.
Yeah, he has changed from the mustard yellow to the dark black. So he is with 3LK, and I'm sure Conan is blubbering some nonsense right now about chickens and cutting their heads off. But
so I actually think this entire promo is them just putting over Jeff Hammond, honestly.
I think that's the whole thing.
They call him like an athlete. He's racing cars at 285 miles an hour, some ridiculous thing.
It's very weird the way they position Jeff Hammond throughout this show and on the next show. It's like, you know, like most celebrities, they tend to go with that, you know, he's in over his head thing. But Hammond is like, no, he'll be fine. He works out. He does NASCAR. That makes him a wrestler.
Like, the Jeff Hammond stuff through these two episodes is, like, the weirdest thing. Like, it gets almost as much coverage as as much hype as the main event, like the title match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't get it because, like, I could see if you got anybody who had any kind of notoriety, but, like, are people really going to, is he going to sell the pay-per-view? Like, Jeff Hammond, like, people are going to buy this to see Jeff Hammond, like a NASCAR analyst, like the fifth most popular sport in America.
If even.
Yeah, like, depending on if you count college sports as, like, individual sports in themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm surprised one of Don West's hands isn't under the desk right now because he really wanks off Jeff Hammond here.
Yeah, like this whole thing, just like, so 3LK just like built him up. Now today in West, now this whole segment is like baffling because, first of all, like Tanae says, he's like, well, Tracy just came here. Now watch, they're about to zoom the camera out as if Tracy's there, and then she's just not there. Like, she did not just give him that paper. He's like, oh, Tracy, Dusty's assistant Tracy just gave me this announcement.
It was definitely and JB it, with a black wig on.
Yeah. There's no way they, like, don't cut to her if she's actually there.
Oh, yeah. Don West is like, you can't believe this guy's training regimen. I've never seen an athlete like him.
Which is some great foreshadowing of when we see Jeff Hammond's Rockin' Bod in the next episode. Oh, yeah.
He's a lot more jacked than I would have imagined he would be, so I'll give him at least. But, I love how he has a top button and everything too.
Going back to what I said at the beginning of the show, you know, that's four matches for the pay-per-view announced and two very strongly implied already. That's basically your full show pretty much done.
Yeah, so BG and Hammond are gonna take on Michael Shane and Kazarian, so and Jeff Hardy and Abyss will face each other. And then, yeah, the tag title match seems to be going towards Cash and Hoyt versus AMW. And if Daniel's last 10 minutes with Styles here in this main event, he will get an X Division title shot. So, Nash and Jarrett, of course.
Abyss and Hardy facing each other in a with a match where tables, ladders, and chairs can be involved, but we can't call it a table, ladders, and chair match.
Yeah, do they actually get into the name of what it's called during these episodes, or have that name?
On the next episode, they've got a name, but this one it's just tables, ladders, and chairs can be involved.
Okay, I gotcha.
They also just said that they showed the clip of him going through the table, and they said it was from earlier in the week, so it's kind of a weird.
Oh yeah.
When it just happened like 10 minutes ago.
Literally happened less than 20 minutes ago.
So who knows how cut up. These matches and stuff are from the taping.
Ooh, I know Tim would like this. AJ's in his all white, so
it's pretty slick.
Fan of that. He's looking pretty svelte. Won't lie. Wonder if Sean's ever gonna get an X Division title to put in his collection.
Now this is a pretty big main event, I would say.
Oh, absolutely.
10 minute. Now, we'll see what they do. They're going to do something they do in pretty much every main event that they have, but it's particularly annoying considering the stipulation of this match. But I'll talk about it in a second when it happens, but yeah. It's very irritating.
They act like this is like the first time they've ever gone one-on-one, too, so this is actually a pretty big contest right here. So, yeah, Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles in the main event for apparently the first time. So, yeah, this will be a very pivotal feud in the history of the company. So,
I'm just thinking out loud. Is it, apart from like Monty and Jarrett, is this like the biggest main event Impact has had so far?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's up there as far as like the competitors and the stakes involved.
Yeah, because they don't have too many title matches. So, like, I mean, AMW and Cash and then Dallas, they had a tag title match in the first episode, but I don't think it was anything like blow away or anything like that. So, but that was a title match at least.
So, I believe on commentary, they may question the strategy of AJ early on in this match because they're kind of working on the mat a little bit of a slower pace. And they're questioning whether AJ should be trying to go in it a little quicker because it would behoove Daniels to take it slow and let the clock run out.
Yeah. And I'll go ahead during this match and admit that my wife absolutely loves AJ Styles, so she would totally leave me for him. Well, every time he comes up on the screen, she's like, oh yeah, there's AJ. I like that. It's his soccer mom dude that he has now. She loves it.
Oh, she likes hearing about the earth being flat.
she sees past that. I told her about that. Like, that kind of ruins it, but I'm still
okay with it. She doesn't care. As long as he's got that rocking bod.
Yeah. That's all that matters.
As long as those abs are as flat as the earth, it's all good. Now, this is what irritates me. We just went from, if we look at the Fox box, the entire match is based around the time limit, and we just lost 3 minutes to the commercial, which kind of sucks, considering that you'd think the whole story of the match is going to be based around the time, so...
And I know I made this point on other shows we've done, they could quite easily take the breaks before the main event starts of these shows, and like Jake says, it would make it, especially this one where it is all time based.
Yeah, and we discussed this before the show, but not a single against all odds ad at this point, so that's a pretty big deal. We usually have about six at this point, so
yeah. It is a positive on the show. They've actually decided to try and make the matches through the show rather than just like tell us via a commercial.
I'll learn better table manners 500 times.
I need to climb the corporate ladder. Okay, Jeff.
Daniel's firmly in control, we should say, at this point in the match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was like, Daniels isn't really backing off, but he's locking in a lot of submissions, but he's not really kind of running away quite yet. So,
yeah, they really like play that off on commentary as well, like saying, you know, the clock's his friend, but he's taking the fight to AJ rather than running away from him.
Yeah,
which is interesting. If he's going to be the heel, you'd think they might work it more like a like he would do the William Regal thing, like the William Regal TV title thing, where he tries to stall and just get to the draw, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
He is working a little slower. He's not really necessarily trying to win right now, I guess. So I guess he is sort of doing it.
Yeah, he's not really trying to win. He's really just trying to kind of wear down Styles, so he might not have enough energy at the end to kind of take over take the victory at like the last second or anything like that. So he's trying to kind of wear him down. He's not really going for the pin. I mean, if he happens to tap, I think he'd be okay with that. But
he's like somewhere in the middle. He's not going like full on heel stalling, but he's also not really like furiously trying to get the win. Just kind of doing kicks and basic shit.
Yeah,
AJ's so explosive. It's amazing.
Pele kick.
Pretty much absolutely nothing and nail him with a Pele.
Comes from nowhere, you know.
Out of nowhere, yeah, of course. AJ's rocking the nice earring on this one. So.
Stud, the diamond stud.
Yeah.
Very 05.
I think we get the great line from Jeff Hammond at this point, where he says about AJ, what does he call him? The incredible AJ Styles. No, Jeff, they don't.
Yeah, there's a fucking jacket that says phenomenal on it when he came out.
The fucking Fox box, which I know is probably on the screen that you're looking at, literally says the phenomenal.
Oh, speaking of, there was the incredible forearm he just hit.
The incredible forearm. In his defense, the Incredible Hulk ride is at Universal, so that's where he got it.
Jeff Hammond, he doesn't care about AJ. It's all about Jeff Hammond making his in-ring debut. Just did that reverse DDT.
BG James. What a tag team.
Hammond Mania is going to be running wild, and we all know it.
I feel like it's so fitting that Ben gets to be on that episode.
I'm getting a t-shirt made up for it. It's gonna be amazing.
I can't wait. Daniels just hit a blue thunder bomb, which was pretty awesome. I like that.
I kind of like AJ's flurries in this last part, but I thought after that last one, like he starts arguing with the ref a bit. I would like a little more urgency from AJ going into like under 2 minutes here.
Yeah, we've got just a minute left now, so AJ really trying to start kind of pulling out all the stops, and this is kind of where Daniel starts to try to run away and play the heel a little bit. But back when we were talking about that earlier, like the Impact Zone crowd is super behind Daniel, so it's kind of weird. I mean, they're behind AJ of course too, but like every time he comes out, they go fall, and you know, they really really get into the Fallen Angel chant. So
he's been knocked out of the park, hasn't he, for about 2 months at this point, really.
Just
before the cage match at the pay-per-view to now.
Yeah, I was just saying, he was the best part of Triple X too, because we, you know, it pretty much me and Sean, but we've been disappointed with how he's kind of been so far. So, but yeah, Daniels was always the standout, and Daniels runs out the clock and laughs in AJ's face. So
takes some of the Conan playbook with the roles to avoid.
he went to Conan on the back and be like, "Teach me about how to do that rolling thunder thing you do."
And Conan says, yo, let me speak on this.
First, you're going to tuck your head, and then, orale!
Yeah, they don't really make Daniels like a real straight-up heel. He's like heel-ish, but not super heel-ish.
Yeah, like, I feel like he's really heel in his promos, but I don't feel like he really wrestles like one.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
He's just kicked to me.
Dusty's out with his ladies once again.
Because of course.
And he admits that Daniels lasted 10 minutes with him, but he is actually going to make a 30-minute Iron Man match between Styles and Daniels at Against All Odds for the X Division title. So that's one to look forward to.
You're not going to be doing your full-on play-by-play for that, are you?
Probably going to take a few breaks, I'm not going to lie. I'm probably going to go like to the first fall and then to the second fall, and you know, I don't really know the total score, but whatever it ends up being, I'll probably break, like, or when it gets to 15 minutes, I'll be like, hey, first half of the match, what'd y'all think? You know, something like that.
So what did y'all think of this main event?
I mean, I thought it was good, but, like, you know, it could have been, I feel like it wasn't, they weren't all out, you know.
I'm kind of like where Jake was, like, that 3 minute break just killed it. I still went like 2 3/4 stars for it, but like when you talk about a 10 minute match and three minutes of that gets sent out for break.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Ben. I went 2.5. Like, I thought it was fine, but I kind of wish they would have. I wish they would have built more of a story into it around the time and stuff, you know.
I also think like there was no real jeopardy. They never really established any like jeopardy for AJ in it. Like you got what you know, Daniels was going to win, but what was AJ getting out of it?
I never felt like AJ was desperate enough, you know, like trying to win. Uh-huh.
Yeah, if Dusty had come out at the beginning and said like AJ never gets a title shot, Daniels never gets a title shot, then yeah, but there's none of that. It's all on one person basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Styles didn't really gain anything out of, you know, winning the match other than not having to face Daniels, which I don't really think he was trying to duck anyway. So, I'm not sure how I feel about the motivations of that one, because I feel like Daniels is really the only person that can win something. So, but what would y'all score it if y'all had to give it a score? Ben.
The match or the show?
The match and the show, actually. Just go ahead and do that.
Okay, yeah. So I 2 3/4 stars seems about right for the match. This was like a very difficult show for me to rate because, you know, as we've seen as we've been watching it, there's a lot of squash matches going on, but you know, there's also a lot of build to the next show, which I appreciated. So I think I went 4.5 out of 10. I went because like I say, things actually happened.
Yeah, I gotcha. Exactly.
This wasn't just, you know, and I know, like, we do like the X Division around here, but this wasn't just a case of throw the X Division guys out there and hope for the best.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with you. Jake, what did you think of the match and kind of the show as a whole?
Yeah, I went 2.5, which is a solid rating, but I was disappointed in that. I really think it could have been a great match if they wouldn't have cut out the chunk of time, and I don't know. I guess I was expecting they didn't really build much drama for something that I think they could have built a pretty good amount of drama throughout the match. The show itself, I'm kind of with Ben. I went 4 out of 10 because I think maybe if that main event's better, it might help the show. And also, we got a lot of squashes. And I'm with him in that it helps that we are building stuff. But I do think that even though we are building stuff, it's still kind of, a lot of it is a little bit lazy at times. Like, it's just like the tag feud is basically just like Cash and Dallas. Sorry, Hoyt. Cash and Hoyt. Just like come up to him and be like, hey, Like they just start mouthing off and that's how it gets set up. So they're still like not really doing a whole lot to kind of establish, you know, like what is the issue at the heart of the feuds? Just like guys will run in and start beating somebody up randomly and that's where the feud comes from. Like they're still not really doing a whole lot to, you know, like I'm not saying they have to do some amazing motivations, but just they're still kind of stuck on just like, well, we want these two people to feud, so have somebody run in and that's what's going to start it.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get where you're coming from. And I think they were kind of focused on the wrong feuds because they really spent a lot of time on the Jeff Hammond stuff. Because, yeah, like everybody's looking forward to that match at the pay-per-view. So, but yeah, I'd probably give the match 2.5 like Jake did. I think it was good just because, you know, AJ and Christopher Daniels are both awesome and they can always have a pretty good match. But I definitely know that there's more in the tank and then they can get a much better match out of it. But yeah, I'd probably go 4 on the show as well, just because they did do some good building towards the pay-per-view. But like y'all said, it's a lot of squashes, and the main event could have been better. So, you know, if that had been like, you know, 3 stars or 3.5 stars, it probably could have bumped the show up to maybe a 5, maybe a 5.5. But yeah, definitely 4 sounds about good for that one. But we've now concluded our first episode for the night, and we're going to take a break right here, and we will be back on the other side to watch the January 28th episode. We will see you on the other side. Place to be Nation, welcome back to the second half of our show where we will be live watching the January 28, 2005 episode of TNA Impact. So if Ben and Jake are ready, I'm going to count us down and we are going to start the live watch of this next episode. All right, so are y'all ready, fellas?
Yes, sir.
All right, in 3, 2, 1, play. All right, so we obviously get our crazy stroke dream TNA intro with the the satellites, crazy lights. Then we get some highlights of Jeff Jarrett in his reverse watermelon shirt. Kevin Nash still rocking the Rick Astley do, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, the head eye still seems to be working.
I like his one little hanging curl, too, in the front.
Maybe he's trying to be like a Hall with the old Razor Ramon curl that he had in the front. I want to know who the fuck that TNA official is.
No one knows.
Everybody needs to research that before the next episode.
Not even he knows.
Hey, you look like you could be good sitting next to me. Come on over here. Sit next to the King of the Mountain. I love how Tracy stands lovingly looking at Dusty the whole time, though. She'll like, glare at everybody else talking, and then she'll, like, bat her eyes at him.
So what does that make Kev? You queen?
So stupid. Freaking DDP.
Why, I mean, has anybody even answered the question, like, why was he even there?
They just let anybody in this press conference.
I mean, they let Don West in there, so.
Yeah, from ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I think DDP from DDP Yoga. I have a question.
Don West, Home Shopping Network.
He should have said that. That would have been amazing.
Would you like to buy these pots and pans?
Somebody should have written that into the script just to fuck with him. All right, now we get our Impact intro where we show all the cool moves that Impact has to offer, the Pounce, the Destroyer. They randomly have Sabu still in there, so living in our minds.
I think they had the Styles Clash in there, but Ben told them to remove it because he hates that move so much.
Hater.
I don't hate it.
Somebody just had a sign that said, "What's a WrestleMania?"
WrestleMania.
It's an actually good wrestling show.
Yeah. Yeah, we would be in like a WrestleMania season now, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Right around Rumble time.
That's absolutely true. It's the two.
There's some fans. So. There's some noteworthy fans in this episode. Like, there's one guy in the front. I don't know when you first see him, but keep an eye out for him because there's just like this huge shirtless guy, like in the front row somewhere.
So we have
Cash and Hoyt.
Cash and Hoyt out for their match, or for a match. Hoyt has the leather pants on now, though, so you know he means business.
And remember, guys, Hoyt is from Dallas, yeah? Just remember that.
That's gonna screw me up, Ben. Gotta stop saying Dallas. All right, and apparently Saban is gonna be on the other team that is across from them. What do y'all think of Saban's like random patch of hair that's like dyed maroon?
Mario 5. And he's gonna be teaming with Jeff Hardy, who, for whatever reason, like.
I feel like he's like stumbling down to the ring.
Yeah, I put in my note that Hardy looks particularly drugged out here.
Yeah, he's got that mummy
shirt.
Looks
like he already hurt his back, and he hasn't even been in the match yet. I guess he's selling the Chuck through the table.
He looks like the Yeti right now.
he has a cross between the Yeti and Freddy Krueger right now. So
he's also letting his partner get jumped while he's.
What a bitch. Luckily, Saban's a speed demon, so he can outwit the giant Hoyt.
Well, we know he's a counter magician, so he might as well be a speed demon as well.
Jeff already lined him up in the wrong corner, so.
Yeah, six sides is too many for Jeff right now.
He's about 12
throwing him off.
Advanced Madison is not Jeff's thing.
Come on, pretty sweet suicide dive on Cash from Saban there. But yeah, Hardy's in the back like, man, you know I'm already drugged out of my mind. I already see 8 sides. Now I see 12 sides because y'all have sat in a ring, you asshole.
I also love Saban doing all these acrobatic moves while Jeff just like on the apron clapping like, good job, man, good job.
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever taught Hoyt how to do the sack of shit slam. He definitely didn't do that right.
So I wonder what happens to Saban now, because he was kind of like a title contender, and then he had the thing with Petey, and now he just kind of seems like he's falling back down to, you know, the X Division bullpen.
I'd love to say his immediate features. we had just had another botch.
You'll get
they miscommunicated on an Irish whip, so that was kind of not good looking. But yeah, Saban's kind of in a holding pattern at this point. I'd love to say I know his immediate future's good, but I don't necessarily know that for sure.
It's kind of funny with Hardy too at this point. It's kind of like they wanted to be in the main event and they realized like he was in no condition, but now they have him. So they just stick him in all these random situations just to have him out there.
Yeah.
Like he's really not even working this match. Like, Saban's pretty much wrestling this match himself. Already hasn't done anything.
I think they saw
him all this, but you've got to use it.
Yeah. I think they saw him stumbling out to the ring, so they sent some word down to Andrew Thomas. Be like, don't let Jeff tag into this damn match. All right, so I think Cash just went for the brainbuster on the knee and then didn't hit any joint in his body, so I don't really know what he was trying to do there. He's trying to do like the brainbuster under the knee, but it ended up not hitting anything.
feel like Cash has really, I feel like Cash is trying to embrace Chris Jericho at this point with his tights. I feel like Jericho has purple ones that look like that. Ooh. Around the point. Ooh, that was a pretty good swing.
Yeah, I like that backbreaker.
Yeah, that was good.
Hoyt's taking
a weird
one step.
A weird kick.
He takes one step into the ring and just reaches his leg out and kicks Saban in the face.
Yeah, like such a weird kick for a big man to do. Like turn around and do like a weird side kick instead of just stomping him like any other big man has ever done.
Hoyt's not like every other big man. He's from Dallas.
Yeah. He sucks. Jeff has gotten plenty of claps in this match. He is clapping his ass off.
All right, so we
finally got it.
Back out.
Oh, but
it's the Yeti versus the Abyss.
Now I do like this. This is one of like my favorite wrestling tropes in a feud where like the one guy like is not gonna let the other guy do anything. He's just gonna interfere in all of his matches and like not let him live his life. I kind of always like that.
Moody Jeff was absolutely pumped for the Abyss run into at the Spanish announce table. Gotta love some Moody Jack. Saban hit what? Oh man, big boot! Shit, he just nailed him out of nowhere.
What was that little move Rudy Charles just did after he booted him? He did like keep motion to his chest.
I'm the referee, you motherfucker. Alright, so Dallas. Hoyt just hit a really brutal big boot, and then Cash, of course, hit the Moneymaker, and Hoyt and Cash beat the team of Saban and Marty.
Now, not to get nitpicky, but does Rudy Charles not care that like Jeff Hardy got taken out by Abyss? Like, does not count as any kind of... It's like, oh well.
Oh well.
Like it's only a DQ if like you're clearly aligned with the people that you're helping. As if you're just like come interfere for other reasons, it's fine. You can take up somebody's tag team partner. He's never actually got
a ring, so that's why Rudy doesn't care.
Jake, what would you give that match?
I would give it the Gentleman's too. It was a little sloppy in spots, but the Saban and Cash stuff. I thought it was a good showcase for Saban, as usual.
Yeah, I got you. Ben, what did you think?
I went the Gentleman's too as well. Benefited hugely from the lack of Hardy.
Yeah, Saban really worked his ass off, so I'll give it the Gentleman's too as well. And we are now getting our first Against All Odds pay-per-view ad. We've somehow made it through the whole first episode without one, so we got one now. We probably will get quite a few more throughout this episode to make up for the lack of any in the first episode.
That's That's why they had to establish all the matches on that first episode so they can have a reason to show the video packages now.
So they can get all those matches set up. Jeff Hardy's going to take on Abyss.
But speaking of, I think this is where we're going to find out. I think today and Don are going to explain to us that match is now, instead of just a tables, ladders, and chairs, it will be a Full Metal Mayhem match.
Oh, yeah. Jake's first experience with Full Metal Mayhem. Aren't you so excited?
Well, I'm interested because it's explained here by Don as being basically an anything goes match, but you could use anything as long as it's made of metal. So like no wood, so you can use a table. This is like a metal table, I guess.
Well, no, the table has metal legs, so if you think about it.
Well, the way Don's explaining it, it seems like everything has to be like, if it's not pure metal,
It's gonna be a proper table. You know, none of that wood stuff.
Yeah.
As I've come to expect from TNA, all these stipulations are very clearly explained. I know exactly what to expect from the match.
Yeah, it'll be nothing that like you expect when it comes to the pay per view. But yeah, Full Metal Mayhem will kind of be Abyss's tropey. Hey, that and the Monster's Ball are kind of his tropey fallback, stipulation matches. Kind of like Hell in the Cell with Taker. That kind of becomes his Monster's Ball, really. But Full Metal Mayhem's kind of his backup if he doesn't do a Monster's Ball.
We should mention we just saw a awkward argument between DDP, Nash, and Hall, which seems to be something we see on every other show now. It's like them having a weird, like, I don't know, these weird arguments backstage.
I think it's just DDP. Maybe DDP is really the blamed for all of this. He just has weird backstage segments. But yeah, basically him and Hall kind of chatter back at each other, back and forth at each other about how he kind of insulted Nash last week. So Nash didn't really stand up for himself. He kind of uses Hall as his like middleman.
We're building to a DDP Hall match that we never get.
Yep. And we get high school gym teacher Chris Candido out for a match, and we get Jake's favorite airhead jacket from Sonny Siaki. So it's Candido and Siaki in this next match. And apparently Daniels is on commentary. So, yeah, I was going to say Candido has major high school gym teacher vibes in this run. Especially
Is this as random a match as we can get? It almost feels like random generated time, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it's so random. Chris Candido versus Sonny Siaki.
A match you never thought you'd see, literally.
I mean, I kind of understand why, because it we won't be able to convey it so much on the live watch, but you know, it's basically there just so Daniels can talk on commentary, isn't it? That's the only reason the match is there. It's just something's on that he's there for.
Exactly. Yeah, Candido's still got it at this point. He's still selling like a badass, so. He's really good in ECW. I feel like he's underappreciated in the history of all the companies, honestly.
But if you just, yeah, a lot of people will just know the skip stuff, won't they? They won't know that stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, him and Triple Threat and his stuff with like Lance Storm and all that. Yeah. Good stuff. He just plays a really good piece of shit heel, so. Sonny Siaki's making up for Don's lack of metallic with his metallic red pants.
That is some spectacular going on.
I wonder if Skip asked if he could borrow Steve Austin's ringmaster outfit. Skip asked. It's literally the exact same thing without the stars on the boots.
Yeah.
I just love Candido's like ping ponging around in these matches. Like he gets chopped, and he just pops up in the air, lands on his ass.
I wouldn't even go as far to say his edge level selling.
Well, they're clearly like testing him, aren't they, to see if he actually, you know, A, wants the job, and B, he's just willing to go out there and have matches. You know, it'll develop a bit later on, but at this point, he's just got nothing going on.
Dude, he did that like Goofy Stooge thing where like he got punched and then he starts like shadow boxing.
Oh my god, what the fuck was he going for there? Was he going to headbutt his legs? Good lord.
I don't know. I'm kind of digging.
Go on, Jake.
I was just saying, I've been digging Candido in these matches. Like, he makes them fun. Like, this throwaway match, and he's just doing all this goofy shit. Like, I'm enjoying him.
Nah, his selling's awesome.
He does some goofy shit, and then he does that stalling suplex. He's like, all right, you still got something.
Oh, yeah, that stalling suplex was awesome.
Don on commentary said he went off for about 2-3 minutes, though, so Don needs to get a new watch, bless him.
Wow, Candido gets the roll-up win. He uses the he used the ropes as leverage, so he put his feet up on the ropes. Of course, Posey missed it, though. Because he's an idiot. So the official burial of Sonny Siaki.
We're not complaining.
It almost embarrasses me that he hangs around as long as he does. Siaki, I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I made the mistake of saying something about how long Candido hangs around. I won't do that again. All right, so we have Smelly Trinity and Tracy in Dusty's office, a.k.a. his pickup truck.
Say something about Trinity in the hay at this point, but we're not sure.
Yeah, something about manure and hay, but yeah, so yeah, something like that. but at the last pay-per-view, Dusty challenged them to find two teams, and they're going to eventually face off in some kind of match, and whoever wins that match will be Dusty's full-time secretary.
Oh, I had forgotten about that.
I don't think it happens until the next pay-per-view, but yeah, that got set up in that little situation. But Tracy says something ridiculous, like her guys are 8 feet tall or something like that, so really hyping them up.
I like how Tracy's gone from, like, you know, having a perfectly good tag team to, like, having to go and find another tag team.
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be Shane and Kaz versus somebody, so...
They're not a perfectly good tag team, but even Trinity had a tag team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess they were both technically had tag teams, but I'm afraid to say that Glenn Gilberti has left the company, so... We'll get another against all odds ad, of course. And to end that segment, Trinity gives a kiss to Dusty to kind of put her, you know, stamp of approval on her position. But yeah, another against all odds ad. So that's two for the episode. And we get the stroke lights that are going on. What did that sign say? Stop something.
I didn't catch it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It was like it had lights on it, so it was like impossible to read. And they were like flashing. All right, we have Scott D'Amore and Shaggy from Scooby Doo coming out. I'm just playing. Johnny Devine is out with Scott D'Amore. What do y'all think of Scott D'Amore's growl at the camera that he does every time? His little ha.
Yeah. you know.
He doesn't do anything. It's not as annoying as, like, you know, his constant interference, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's true. I like how when Monty Brown is who Johnny Devine's going to face in this match. So I like when Monty comes out, his fireworks go in a circle, and then he steps the other way and they go in the opposite direction. I think that's a really cool entrance. Even though he kind of squats, so he's farting each time, and it just kind of makes it.
I'm not watching you here, Logan. But are we dusting out the pulsometer for this? Because
oh yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
We'll get to it when we get to it. But yeah, Johnny Devine kind of jumps Monty to start the match to kind of throw him off guard. Monty had his amazing leopard jacket on, as always, so always a highlight of these shows for me.
Ironically, Shaggy is a little scrappy here. Going after Monty.
I see what you've done there.
Yeah. who knew Scooby-Doo puns would be make the Highway to the Impact Zone pot here?
Scott D'Amore would make a great Scooby-Doo villain. I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, absolutely.
And I would have done it.
I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you stupid meddling kids. I kind of wish they would give Johnny Devine a little bit more of a area to kind of show what he can do, because I feel like I've been pretty impressed with him, you know, in the few times we've seen him. All right, and the rest of Team Canada is out. Petey tries to jump on him, and then he chucks him out on top of Bobby Roode. And Eric Young's in, and pounce!
That Monty power bomb was good, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ben, what would you give the one on Eric Young just in?
That was your standard regular pounce. I'd have gone a 7 or 8 out of 10 for that.
Oh my god.
That one.
Oh my god. So
I think I go 9 on the EY one because the bump out of the ring is pretty sick.
I'll go 8.5 because of the bump outside. Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. What about the Johnny Devine one?
Oh, 12.
What'd
you say? It's 12. It's gone off the scale.
Oh, okay.
It's a 10. It's that thing was it was amazing. The fact that we got both of those in the same match is incredible.
That was a hell of a setup too. He just kind of chucks him into the corner and then he bounces off the turnbuckle and Monty just meets him in the middle and just wrecks him.
That's the one we'll be comparing every other one to now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd probably give an 8 to the EY one just because of how he just wrecks him out of the ring, and then he really gave it to Johnny Devine on that one. So that one's definitely a 10. But apparently Scott Hall has something to do with Monty Brown and has come out to help Team Canada.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm saying. Like, it makes you wonder: is this going to be a Scott Hall Monty Brown match that we're going to see?
Oh my god.
I would love to see Scott Hall get pounced out of the ring like that. Just imagine, like, because he would, like, get the pounce, and then it would be, like, a 2-second delay before he would react.
Yeah. So we have an alliance between Team Canada and Hall and Nash, apparently. And then DDP and Monty have that respect that they built at the pay-per-view, so apparently they're going to be buddies now.
I have news, gentlemen. I'm pretty sure this is our last Scott Hall appearance.
Oh.
Oh man, what a random ass way to leave. All right, so in the press conference earlier, Jarrett said he had a match in Seoul, South Korea, coming up. So they show highlights of him walking to the ring. They never talk about who he faced or show who he faced at all. But he had a match in Seoul, South Korea, this past week. So, and he retained his WA World Title. So.
If you ever get a chance to hear the voiceover of this, Jeremy Borash, I think, sounds the most bored I've ever heard anybody talking. Like, you know, that guy cannot read off a script. Jeff Jarrett went to Seoul, Korea.
Well, that should be something we watch on YouTube Roulette. We need to find the Jarrett South Korea match, Jake.
I think he actually faced AJ. I looked it up, and you kind of see AJ on the mat. I'm assuming you beat him.
Oh, okay.
I think it was AJ. So it could be a good match.
Yeah, we need to find that and try to find that on YouTube.
I do think it's kind of funny that they're trying to, like, show Jarrett like he's globetrotting, like he's Ric Flair in the 80s or something, like this icon. Traveling the world defending the title.
Yeah.
Even though he's facing this AJ.
He needs to bring back his railroad track entrance video showing that he's well traveled. You remember that from our first episode and literally never again.
So Jared coming to the ring in his typical like Florida dad outfit.
Oh yeah. This is definitely slacks. Like my dad's golfing attire. Yeah. I mean, minus the chains, obviously.
And Mike's already doing his smug face look.
Oh, yeah.
It's so ridiculous that they shoot fireworks out of the damn guitar. That's so stupid. Fuck you.
Okay, now I know you can definitely see the shirtless guy during this promo. He was very...
Oh, I see him, yeah.
You should be able to spot.
He's just randomly sitting down, too. He's not even, like, jumping around like a wild man.
He's just, like, shirtless.
This interview is so interesting because, like, I mean, the crowd, I mean, yeah, I know we give, like, the Impact Zone crowd a bit of stick in the past, but they absolutely shit on this.
Yeah,
They genuinely hate Jarrett. It's not just go away, X-Pac. They genuinely hate him.
Sure, I actually think that's shirtless Stevie Richards.
He's like a shirtless mixture of Stevie Richards and Dave Grohl. He kind of looks like Dave Grohl.
He's kind of jacked. But no, to Ben's point, like, it really is, like, Jarrett tries to play it off during this promo that it's like, you know, like, he's just a heel getting good heel heat. But it's really, like, I think it's beyond that. Like Ben was kind of saying, they really do hate him. I don't think it's just like, oh, he's a good heel. I just think they don't want to see him anymore. And, I mean, you have to think, this is the one-year anniversary, and he has been the champ the entire time. And I feel like it's at the point where I'm just convinced it's never going to change. Like, I never go into a show thinking there's any chance he's ever going to lose the title, which I don't think is good because it kind of sucks the life out of it, you know? But even guys who have held the title for a while, it's like you still have to make it seem like the person they're facing is a threat. But it's to the point where, like, so, like, Monty couldn't beat him. Like, who's going to beat him? Like, they're going to give the title to Nash? Like, I don't know. I just feel like he's never going to fucking lose this title ever.
He does lose it eventually, but it's definitely... this is like the Triple H title run that you're about to get into. I mean, he loses it a couple times, but like he's pretty much on top for the next three years that you're about to cover on Ruthlessly Aggressive. So that this and that are like right there with each other in miserableness from a fan's perspective.
But the difference being that Triple H will have the occasional good match.
Yeah, that's true. But that's because of Shawn Michaels.
I mean, off the top of my head, off memory, like, Jarrett's around in the title picked to well into 06. Like, off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think it's even a lot further than that, honestly. I think it's at least midway through 06. When Angle comes in, he kind of phases out, I think.
Oh, sorry, Angle comes in and then, he goes into the background a little.
Because by that point, Joe's kind of in the picture, so it's kind of Joe, AJ, Angle, you know, and some of the other guys that have come in at that point.
Do I say Joe?
Have y'all ever seen the second Mortal Kombat movie? Like the old ones that came out in the 90s?
Annihilation.
Okay, so... yeah, Annihilation. So, do you remember the, like, centaur guy that was on, like, the bad guy team at the end?
Yes.
Okay, the guy in the crowd that doesn't have a shirt on looks exactly like that guy. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're right. He's pretty jacked.
He looks just like that guy. I know that was a deep, deep cut, but I had to say it.
This is a very long Jarrett promo too, and I think here he kind of exposes that when he doesn't just do his pull string promo, he kind of stumbles. Like towards the end of this, he really starts stumbling. Like he starts calling he calls Scott Hall a human bar stool of a buddy. Like he says all these corny lines, and he just keeps telling us like, "You want to be a jokester? You're all full of jokes." Like he just starts kind of rambling and. I think he is a little flustered. Like, he plays it off okay, but I think he is a little flustered by the crowd. Like, they're really hammering with the boring chants in this promo.
I think
they really exactly want to go.
I think that's exactly what it is, because at the beginning, like, him and Mike just play it off, like, ignore it. But then it gets to a point where you can't ignore it, because the crowd is that loud.
I feel like there's an old couple behind Jarrett. There's a lady in the pink and then a guy in the blue. I feel like they're on like their 50th anniversary trip and the husband was just like, wouldn't it be hilarious if we went to go watch wrestling? And she's like, yeah, whatever. We can do whatever you want.
I'm actually going to Universal in the next week. I should take I could go to the Impact Zone.
Yeah, I was going to say you should get a special tour of the Impact Zone.
Find out what stage 21's being used for now.
I went in like 05, so I kind of wish I had pushed to go to a show or something if we were around at that point. So that was a big missed opportunity. I did go to a TNA pay-per-view eventually, though. So
okay.
I can't say I've been to one.
But yeah, rough promo for Jarrett. That was a rough one.
Yeah, that was like a 10-minute promo at least.
I went to a couple of the when they started recording Impact over here. Okay. A couple of days.
Yeah, they had one and they called it Memphis, but it was in South Haven, Mississippi. I think it was Slammiversary 2008. We'll get there eventually, but it was a pretty good show from what I remember. It had the Jay Lethal SoCal Val wedding on it. That was the big thing.
I can't remember what year it was, but I got the one where MVP got revealed. That's what I got.
Gotcha.
This is a weird AJ promo, too. He keeps making all these weird facial expressions and rolling his eyes. This is the I'm a survivor.
Yeah, he's been listening to some Destiny's Child. Bless him.
Yeah, he makes all these weird facial... I don't know. Maybe Shane Douglas is rubbing off on him, but he tries to, like... You know, like, he's not the... Especially at this point in his career, not the greatest promo, but I feel like he's trying to do different stuff. But you could see, even though we have it on mute, you could see he's making all these weird faces, like... Strange facial expressions and rolling his eyes and
you know our last show we were on with Lewis when he was demanding that AJ does promos. This is why he doesn't.
Yeah, he definitely broke out the Destiny's Child there.
I'm a survivor. I love that Shane Douglas's stupid little mustard polo has franchise like embroidered on it.
Oh yeah.
I have some personalized lapels going on.
Hey, look, the Naturals again. Great.
Dun, 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 dun. Naturals. I love their music. No effort was put into writing that one. It's literally just guitar, and then they say, Naturals.
And they'll get Eric Watson, his good buddy Cassidy Riley. It's all bandaged up after Raven wrecked his finger, so his fingers are all taped up. And Eric Watts is in a sling after Raven threw him off the stage at a Final Resolution.
Oh yeah, he's totally moving his arm, so he's definitely selling really well.
That's what you do, right?
Yeah. And he's also looks ridiculous with these like baggy pants and his beanie / toboggan / snow hat thing. He has one.
Fucking toboggan. Beanie. Sorry. I called it a toboggan earlier. I apologize.
So we have Dustin looking like a character on Sons of Anarchy.
Oh my god. Yes, he does.
What a stupid music.
His music is the worst.
Down.
He still had his Big Daddy Cool Pants on, so.
Coming out to protect his good buddy, Cassie Riley.
Mike mentioned earlier on, like, him and Eric Watson mentoring Cassie Riley. Like, so, do you think of, like, the worst people at this point?
The worst mentors. Okay, and I've noticed that this is a trope in Naturals matches. So Stevens will start the match, and eventually he'll poke somebody in the eye and tag in. And Douglas immediately comes in and gets hit with a move. Usually a drop toe hold, but he always gets hit with a move immediately after getting tagged in. But Douglas is in the ring now, and he just immediately missed stomping on Cassidy Riley's hand. So, yeah, they're really working on the broken fingers that... Raven really fucked up last week.
Which at least gives them something to do. Like, it's pretty easy to, like, work a broken finger. You just do, like, stomps and stuff. But I think what's disappointing about them, too, is that they do look... They're really tall, and they look super athletic, but then they never do anything impressive. I think that's kind of disappointing. You know what I mean? Like, physically, they look good, but it's like they never really do anything that kind of goes with how athletic they are.
It is like the way they look, they're tall, but they're lean, so there's no real like muscle mass going on. And like you say, like they don't do any particularly impressive double teaming moves.
Yeah, it was really noticeable when they were tag team champions because they had to face teams like the AMW, which they're significantly smaller than, just because those guys are fucking jacked and you know, pretty beefy guys. But then they'd face Daniels and Skipper, and they're like way taller than those guys, and they don't really work like a small guy style unless they're facing a bigger team. So when they had to face like an X Division kind of team, it really exposed how kind of not ready for that primetime spot.
And they don't really do like an X Division style, even though they kind of look like they're tall and lanky when they could do it. So it's instead they just do like you said, eye pokes and.
Mm-hmm. Like that match we saw a couple of weeks ago where was it? I can't even remember which one it was. Was it Douglas against Williams? So he could work it. He worked a reasonably good X Division style at that point.
Yeah,
it doesn't translate into the
good.
I say it doesn't translate. You know, so you can do it in singles, but it does not. That style does not translate into the tag work for them.
No, yeah, definitely. All right, so Raven came out and distracted Rhodes, so the Naturals hit the Natural Disaster on Riley and won the match. So, what did y'all think of that match?
Yeah, we go half a star on that bad boy.
Yeah.
It was just another, like, the match wasn't the focus, like we've said about a lot of these. It was really just the vessel to continue the whatever they want to do. Maybe, I guess, Raven and Dustin now, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I feel like that match was really distracted, for sure.
I'm the same as Jake with the rating. My major problem with it is we saw pretty much the exact same finish in the first match.
Oh, yeah. You know,
the heel comes out, distracts the other guy. In a tag match, and then the heel team win.
All right, so now we have Michael Shane and Kaz out for the main event, and Jeff Hammond's out for commentary, of course. I love how Jeff Hammond in these two appearances has the top button unbuttoned on his nice dress shirt, Impact shirt that he has on. So,
a little foreshadowing.
Oh yeah,
little teaser.
Primetime is the teammate of Michael Shane and Kazarian in this match. So I wonder who they're facing. Maybe our favorite team.
Ooh, he says, stroking the beard.
And it is, in fact, our favorite team, led out by B. Jizzle, Ron Killings, and Conan, three live crew.
Now, I don't know if they're... They may not be talking about it yet, but they get into at this point, because obviously this is really all they're going to talk about during this whole match is Jeff Hammond and his credentials. And so, because, you know, 3L Care is buddies, but they get into this whole thing about how even though he has never wrestled, he has actually wrestled Steer before, which.
Steer wrestling.
Yeah. Ben, you know all about that, right?
I had to research it.
Second only to NASCAR and Ben's favorite things.
At this point, remember, they aren't the three live crew. They're the three live pit crew.
Oh, God. Yeah, I love how he calls them his pit crew. What a joke.
I was going to talk about Primetime. It's very interesting to me how, like, he's still a heel. At this point, like, you know, when the tag breaks up, they usually turn one face, one heel. Mm-hmm. In this case, they've just kept both of them heel, but obviously kept them separate.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of weird. And I would have to point out that BG James no longer has B. Jizzle on the back of his jersey. He actually has BG James, so he's growing.
Oh, that's true.
Somebody backstage actually go, maybe having jizz on the back of shirts.
we have a roll.
Party was like, that's my thing.
I like how I was
rolling thunder less than 30 seconds in. Ooh. That didn't look good. Ooh.
Cassius is such a dumbass, like kipping up and just like taunting the air.
Conan is such a jackass. He made the cool little Matrix avoiding thing turn into like the most awful inverted DDT I've ever seen. And of course, good.
No, I was just say Daniels has definitely got the prime billing of, you know, Triple X. Like Elix has kind of just been thrown. Like he's just kind of an extra in this match.
Uh huh. Yeah, definitely.
he's just in that like Chris Sabin disposable number category, isn't he?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Isaiah, and of course, Posey being the idiot that he is, let 3LK just completely get away with doing a triple team. No. And we get another commercial in the middle of a main event, so we got...
Oh, yeah, it's every main event on Impact. It's like a mainstay of Impact.
It's ridiculous. I feel like
they can't even make the excuse. They can't make the excuse where it's like, well, we want to have a commercial when our ratings are going to be the highest during the main event. It's like playing at 4 in the afternoon. Like, do you think their ratings are much different? Like, are they really doing, like, the quarter hours for Impact on Friday afternoon?
Oh, we did a .04, guys. Aren't you so excited? 4,000 people watched our show.
You know what I mean? It's like, we got to get this commercial in the main event after we hooked them with the Siaki versus Candido match early in the show. Now that we hooked them in, we hit them with the commercial.
All right, so Centaur Man, put his shirt back on now.
Disappointed.
Now, we'll also point out commentary during this match, because, like I said, all they're doing is just, like, talking in circles about Jeff Hammond and this, how he's going to be in the pay-per-view match. But they also say, Tanay says that he is working very hard to prepare a match strategy for against all odds. Jeff Hammond is.
It's like I said earlier, it's just the way they present Hammond is just very, very odd. Like, even so, by their standards. Like when celebrities take part in a wrestling match, they usually go with the, you know, like when Bad Bunny at WrestleMania, you know, oh, he's in over his head a bit. But with Jeff Hammond, it's like, no, he'll be fine.
They're also like, usually celebrities, which he is not.
Yeah.
Valid point. Do we know that Jeff Hammond actually ever raced, or is he just a commentator and just knows a lot about it?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and look it up real quick.
Jeff Hammond turned left. He's turned left. Turned left again. There you go.
Wikipedia describes him as an American NASCAR personality and crew chief.
Oh,
he's a NASCAR personality.
It's gonna be a pissed Kelsey or something.
No, he never actually raced. He was just a broadcaster and a crew chief. So,
a steer wrestler.
Can I just quickly mention how much I love? I know it's happened a bit ago, but how much I love that truth spinning elbow thing he does. That's the magic.
Oh yeah, I love that move. Oh yeah, and 3-0. Or no, Michael Shane and Kazarian and Skipper get the win there.
Yes.
So they steal one from 3LK there. So they use some dirty tactics to kind of get BG down, and Michael Shane got the pin.
Yeah, that finish was kind of all over the place.
Yeah, because Conan had him in like across the room.
Yeah, Conan had him in the tequila sunrise, but.
Yeah, I didn't know what the hell he was doing. He was just looking around trying to figure out something to count.
And now Hammond's running to complain to the ref, saying that they cheated.
That's how it works in wrestling. You complain enough to the ref and he'll reverse decision.
I like that. Of all the matches Posey's fucked up, like, this is the one Jeff Hammond's like, look, I'm not going to stand for this.
Oh, those are his buddies. This is Pit Crew. Oh, and the shirt has come off for Jeff Hammond, so we see the svelte body of Jeff Hammond. Like I said, he's a little more jacked than I, but he definitely has a dad bod at the same time, for sure.
Yeah, he's a little paunch belly. He's got the upper body, but he's got the beer gut too. I love Cass doing the like little hit the whip thing to him, like the steering wheel.
Yeah. All right, so as this episode kind of closes, what did y'all think of that match, and what would you rate the episode? Jake, what'd you think?
I think I'm going to give the last match a star and a half. It was a little messy. It had some good moments, but was nothing great to write home about. This show itself, I would go pretty, I think this is a pretty weak one. I think I'm going to go like 3 out of 10. There was not a whole lot. I mean, pretty much the only good thing on this was Monty and the pounces. Otherwise, it was just like a bunch of really random matches like Candido versus Siaki, stuff like that, but it had no purpose whatsoever. And the main event was not great. Too much Jeff Hammond, just not a very strong impact.
Oh yeah, definitely not. Ben, what'd you think?
I went a star and 3/4 for the match. I nearly bugged up to the gentleman's 2, but but then I was like, "Fuck Conan." So we went with a star and 3/4. As for the show, I'll agree with Jake. Like three out of 10 seems quite a good reasonable score. Like, and it would have been even lower if that had been for Monty.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think 1.5's a good star rating for the main event, because it was all right, but it kind of fell apart there at the end, like we said. We did get to see the svelte body of Jeff Hammond there at the end, though, so that was nice. But yeah, I'd probably go 3 out of 10 on the show as well, because like I said, the pounces were awesome in that match, but pretty much everything else was kind of filler. And, you know, there was a little bit of, you know, storyline progression in some of the feuds, but not really that much at the same time. So, definitely Monty was the standout. And I thought Candido was pretty good in that match. So, that was kind of a throwaway at this exact same time. From there, we'll kind of go to awards. They might be a little tougher than usual. But MVP, Jake, who would you give MVP to?
I think I'll go with Daniels, I guess. I think he's presented well in these. Because I don't know if we talked about it much, but he was also on commentary for that one match.
Yeah, he was pretty good off commentary for the Candido-Siaki match. So, I mean, that match was pretty much to push across that Daniels was on the show and was talking about his match with AJ. So, Ben, who do you have as your MVP?
Yeah, I went Daniels as well. Like, pretty good, you know, pretty good match on the first show. Best of the shows we watched. And yeah, the commentary was very good as well.
Yeah, I gotcha. LVP, Ben, who'd you go with on that one?
Oh, Hardy. Not even close this time.
Yeah, I gotcha. And I went with Daniels for MVP as well. I didn't say that. But Jake, who'd you have as your LVP?
I think I'm going to go with the Naturals, because they were on this show twice and did not impress in any showings.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jake on that one. I'm going to go with the Naturals. Like he said, they were on both shows and they were pretty bad on both of them. So, I'll definitely agree with Jake on that one. Match of the night, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Styles and Daniels was probably both of y'all's, correct?
Yep.
Correct.
I gotcha. All right, so moment of the night, Jake, what'd you go with?
I'm going to go with the Monty pouncing Divine.
Absolutely. Is that what you went with as well, Ben?
Gotta be.
Yeah, just a combination of pounces between Divine and Young were both awesome. So, yeah, just that whole ending of the match and segment right there. So, if he had pounced more, I might have given, like, the show him a 10, just because nothing will ever get better than that.
A big load.
He just pounced a fat load! Oh, my God! I can't believe he pushed him all the way across the ring! But, Express Lane, Ben, who'd you have kind of on the way up tonight?
So, Monty and Abyss, as you know, are always on the Express Lane. I'm going to put Daniels there as well.
Gotcha. Jake, who'd you have in your Express Lane?
Yeah, I think I'm right there with Ben. I can't really think of anybody else off the top that's coming to mind for Express.
I gotcha. I'll put Saban in there just because he kind of held together that tag match earlier in the second episode. So, Saban, and I'll give Candido a shout out. He got Siaki to a fairly solid match. So I won't dock him too much for that one, but I thought he was pretty impressive. Exit Lane, Jake, who'd you have Exit Lane?
Naturals for sure. Hardy's always a lock for the Exit Lane. I'm trying to think of a Jeff Jarrett's title reign. Jeff Hammond as a wrestler.
I got you. Ben, who'd you have in your Exit Lane?
Okay, take your pick from Jeff Hardy, the Naturals. Jeff Jarrett, just everything to do with him. Dustin Rhodes, and yet again, fuck Conan.
Yeah, Jarrett cutting 20-minute promos, or 15-minute promos, whatever it was, definitely never needs to happen again. But yeah, Conan's always awful. But yeah, I definitely agree with most of what you guys said. So no need to add anybody else to it. Great value tonight. I'm going to go ahead and save mine. I'm going to go with the Centaur guy from Mortal Kombat Annihilation in the crowd. I thought he was a great value there in the crowd, even though it might have been the real guy, so who knows. Jake, could you have your great value tonight?
So I'm going to go with the one that Ben pointed out, Jeff Hammond calling AJ the incredible AJ Styles. Is great value, phenomenal.
Yeah, that's definitely a great one. Ben, what'd you go with?
I had that, and I also had, in the first show, TNA not calling it the TLC match. It's a match with tables, ladders, and chairs, but we can't call it a tables, ladders, and chairs match.
The CLT match.
Yeah, the CLT. The LTC match. That's so funny. But yeah, that's definitely a great one as well. But that'll finish up our awards for tonight and our show. But before we leave you, Jake, what you got going on?
Quickly, I'll plug the latest episode of the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast dropped, where myself and Mr. James Gruenberg covered a very infamous week in WWE TV that includes both the Billy and Chuck wedding and the HLA segment. So, quite a week.
Wow. That's a hell of a couple of episodes to have Gurney on for. I know
yeah, Ben will yes. be
tomorrow. So, Ben, what you got going on?
Okay, so as well as the newest episode of Special Relations that's already out there, there's going to be a new episode of Wrestling's Chicken Sandwich. Speaking of anniversaries, we're celebrating our first anniversary as well, and we're going to be live watching Great American Bash 1999. Look out for that. I think it's the second week in June.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're recording it next week, but yeah, I think it comes out the week after that for sure. But yeah, that's kind of where I got the idea to do the live watch tonight, because we're going to do that one. A first year anniversary, kind of a way to ring in the first year that we've been doing both of these podcasts. So I'm glad we did it tonight. I had fun talking about it with you guys. But yeah, we've got that coming up. We've got a popcorn chicken salad coming up before too long. Me and Roger just did They Live on From Squared Circle, the silver screen. I think we're going to watch Top Gun on Popcorn Chicken Salad coming up, so that'll be a fun one. But yeah, I think me and Jake and Shiflet and Sean are going to do the next YouTube roulette show, so that should be fun because Scott picked four hell of a matches to go through. I'm really looking forward to watching some of those, so... But as usual, thank you all the fans of this show. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't have been doing this for a year. So I'm very thankful for all of you, and I'm thankful for all the guys that do this show with me. I'm thankful for Ben, Jake, Lewis, Matt, Sean, all of our guests, Callum, Tim, and who else? Scott Shiflet. He was on an episode with us as well. So I'm thankful to all those guys, and we will see you next time.